You can say that word a little different. You gotta move the emphasis to the different syllable, right?
Yes, that's the way you do it.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Mental Wealth Podcast. This is episode number 3. It's the show where we talk about the investments that last even longer than money. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the economics of your soul, the ways in which we can invest in ourselves and each other. I'm your host, Jay Floyd. I'm a purpose life coach, man. I'm the author of The Driver's Seat, also known as How to Get Out of Life's Backseat and Drive in Your God-Given Purpose. I'm also the rapper and MC behind the album What's Good. I'm sitting here with my girl, Chloe Mack. What is going on?
Hey, Jay. Hey, everybody. It's great to be back. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. As y'all know, Chloe Mack is an empowerment coach. What does it mean to be an empowerment coach?
That means I empower professional leaders to get unstuck. And really, as I was thinking about this between our last show and today, that I really deal with the issues of the soul that get us stuck, because so many times leaders feel, and they should be, further than they are along their walk. They're teaching, they are empowering and helping other people, but they themselves feel stuck in their lives. So my niche is dealing with the soul of the professional leader and helping them to get and achieve the life that they want to live. And so many times the one that they have taught or are teaching other people to obtain.
Okay. All right. Scoot on in and let the people see you a little better. We're going to get right in here into the zone with the folks out there. All right. We need to come up with a name for y'all, man, for the mental wealth family, people out there that's trying to be mental millionaires or whatever y'all trying to be. You know, we need to come up with that.
I like that.
Yeah.
What's your name? What's your name?
We're bond with y'all, man. You know, like I said, this is really all about what do we need to do to grow. So many people talk about mental health. Yeah. And so many people talk about generational wealth. How do you become a millionaire or stack some cheddar, get some revenue? But what about mental wealth? What about the things that we can do to heal ourselves or we can live richer lives with each other, right? So tell me, Chloe, what's been going on? What you've been working on in your ministry, your coaching practice? Let the people know what's going on with you.
Well, first of all, Jay, the most important thing I've been working on is myself. And so I don't know if I told our audience and you last time that I did enroll myself back into therapy. Like, it's a class, y'all. I got back into therapy and I've been really doing some soul work, because I understand that what I'm called to do, I want to do it well. I don't want to be impeded by things that are going on in my heart and my soul that I haven't dealt with. So that's the very first thing that I've been doing. And I've been researching a lot about codependency and daddy issues and narcissistic relationships and things like that. I've been reading a lot. I've started this book called The Power of the Subconscious Mind, and it's been really interesting to tap into what I believe about myself and how what I believe either propels me or holds me back from the life that I really, really want. And so I've been working on that, and I've been working on my book that I will be releasing in October.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to have a 50th birthday celebration in addition to a book release.
You're
going to
be giving birth.
Yes, I'm absolutely going to be giving birth to this next half a century of my life.
Yeah.
And finally, I feel, you know how you're an author, so you know about that release, right? You have a book in you, but there's a timing when it should come forth. And this is the time.
Changes your life.
Yeah.
Changes your life. That the person that has that book out already is going to be different forever.
Yes.
Yeah. But in a great way, though. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait for you to read it. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to have Jay, even though it's for women, I am going to have Jay be a beta reader. So if you're interested in being a beta reader from my book, then let me know. But that's enough about me. What have you been working on?
Oh, man. You know, like I said, I'm a purpose life coach. So, you know, I spend a lot of my time like finding my niche audience, right? Like, you know, really reaching out and connecting with those people. Right now, I've been doing a lot of work with tech companies. And, you know, they're employees who are really looking to, one, especially people of color, really looking to connect all the way. to this job they have, mm-hmm. and not, and to make it more than a job. Like, how do I build my career growth plan? How do I really see myself? You know, like we talk about a lot, you know, one of the things about the world right now, especially the corporate world, is this white male dominant. Mm-hmm. It's built for white males by white males. Mm-hmm. So if you're not that, sometimes it's hard to envision that whole path.
Okay.
That, where do I see myself 5 years, 10, mm-hmm. and how do I intentionally get on that road and navigate it instead of just waiting for my boss to give me a raise or a promotion?
Okay.
How do I take it and be like, here's what I see myself as?
So you said a key word, and I want to make sure that we don't just breeze over that, that you are helping them to connect.
Yeah.
What does it look like? What is the difference between having someone who is connected versus someone who's not connected? How does that show up?
That's a great question.
Because I want to make sure that the audience understands what it should look like.
Yeah. I would say in two ways, right? For one, how does it show up? I think I can speak from personal experience.
Yeah.
I've been working in tech for 20 years. When I apply myself to tech, I'm great. Mm-hmm. I've been doing computers since I was 5 years old, right? I have an inclination for tech.
Okay.
But I don't wake up with a passion to open up the latest magazine or read about the latest technology, the bleeding edge technology, and get all super excited about it.
Okay.
Right. So I have to know that,
because mm-hmm.
there's other people in my industry who do.
Mm.
Right. And I'll be playing catch up a little bit if I don't. Right.
Yes.
So the way that you connect is to find out, one, how are you wired?
Mm.
Two, what is your strength? Like, maybe my strength isn't going out and identifying the newest bleeding edge technology, but obviously I'm still good at this job for some way.
Yeah.
So how do you find out, why am I good? In which ways am I great at this? Right. Mm-hmm. If it's not like the next person, it's going to be like me. So what I help people do is identify their top 20 strengths.
Top 20.
20.
Did you hear that? I thought he was going to say two.
Nah.
I heard the two. It was two. He said 20.
And it's key. The reason we go 20.
Yeah.
It's because I don't believe in weaknesses. So those bottom 15 through 20.
Yeah.
Most people would call those weaknesses.
Mm.
Those are just strengths that you are not leveraged for. Right.
Okay.
They're way lower. You're not indexed in that way. Mm. Right. But the top three. That's you all day. You
Fire.
Wake up doing that, eyes closed.
Hmm.
So what I help people do is identify what those three are and leverage them.
Mm-hmm.
The next 90 days, I'm working on things that let me be that. And if I got to do the bottom ones,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to find a way around that. I'm going to strengthen myself up. I'm going to pair up with somebody who do like to do those things.
Yeah.
Right? That's one of the things, great communication. I'm going to link up with a coworker who's good at it. And maybe through osmosis, I can get a little bit of their tips and tricks, or maybe a little bit of their passion in it. Right? So it's just about knowing what your engine look like and managing it. It's like knowing the car you drive.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? When I grew up, we didn't have a whole lot of money, so the car was a little raggedy all the time. My mom knew how raggedy it was, right? She knew the ways, the things she had to do every morning to get us to school.
Exactly.
I gotta start that mofo a little earlier, right? That joint is gonna have to get running for about 30 minutes before we can leave the house. You're gonna have to pump that gas a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Jay, I gotta tell you this. So you reminded me of a car we had, I think it was a Gremlin. You could see the street through the back seat because there was a hole. So we knew when you stepped in, do not step in that hole.
Don't step in that hole.
And
man,
we lived on Bryn Mawr in East Cleveland, which was a dead end street right by the RTA tracks.
Did y'all have the potholes back then?
We had the potholes back then and no brakes. So if you wanted to break and not run into that wall, at the top of the street by East Cleveland Library, you needed to start pumping the brakes at the top of the street.
I thought you were going to say you got to put your foot through the hole. No. The Flintstone, get down.
And if you did not do it soon enough, then you had to put it in park real quick, but make sure it's going to jerk you. I'm so serious.
But you see what I'm saying? You know what you're dealing with.
I know.
Because here's the thing, I just told my daughter, my 16-year-old daughter, this yesterday. Everybody dealing with something.
Yes.
We all got something. Know what it is so you can be the one who manages it.
Mm.
Maintain a good relationship with God, because God is the manufacturer.
Yes.
Nobody knows a product better than the manufacturer. right?
Absolutely.
So if you're the manager and God's the manufacturer, y'all need to be where every day managing the best way to operate this machinery, right?
Yeah.
You can't just think this serendipity is going to get you through life. I could just wake up every day, oh, hopefully something fortunate is going to happen. It don't work that way.
No.
It don't work that way. You're unique. You are one of one. Master it. Master it. Figure it out.
So as a part of that, mastering your emotions.
All day.
When you talk about management, I don't think we manage our money. We manage our jobs. We might manage our weight. We might, you know, COVID. You know. But I don't know if we know how, especially in the kingdom, to manage our emotions, to even give credence to our emotions, to give voice to them.
Nah, but that's a cultural discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's we're generations deep in that, right? I think a lot of it's going to come up in our topic here. Yeah.
In our topic
For the day. So
topic for today.
With that being said.
you know, I did the lead in. That was the exact lead in. You did the lead.
And just like in that car, with the hole where you can see, we about to grab the wheel and we going to make our turn, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Let's talk about it. This is episode 3. The topic is, how do you protect Black women? The reason why we talked about this, the Oscars happened.
They happened.
And man, they happened.
They happened.
And the next day, they happened again. And then the next day, they happened some more.
They're gonna
then they
be
happened
happening.
All over the place.
They're going to be happening for a long time.
So yeah. The Oscars happened, right? And I immediately hit you up. And I was like, you know, we got to talk about this.
Immediately he hit me up. I mean, it was still probably stinging on Chris's face. And he hit me up.
You know, we got to talk. But you know, this is not a hot take show.
Yeah.
We're not going to rush. We could have moved up the show to talk about it at that moment. That's not really what we do here. That's cool for the people who did. But what we do, we try to think about, how does it really affect our overall family, culture, us living together, some generational things. So tell me, where were you at when the slap happened?
When the slap happened. So I was sleeping when the slap happened. When I got to work the next day, my students were talking about it. And
so
my
they gave you the info.
They gave me the info. And I said, are you all like, because they like to kid to get me off topic. So I'm like, this is another joke. You all don't want to take this test. You all don't want to work on this project. They're like, no, Miss Maggie, look it up.
You made it all the way to work the next day.
I made it all the way to work the next day. I heard it on Ricky Smiley. So that's not true. Ricky Smiley said that he was disturbed by it. And they were mocking someone in the audience.
You didn't know the extent of what happened.
I didn't know. And I'm thinking, like, disturbed by what? What is going on? And so I got to work, forgot about it. And my students actually told me. And then I watched it. And I said, is this a parody? Is this like something funny? Did that really just happen? So I really was in denial at first when I saw what my
did you think ultimately after you took everything in, did you think this is real?
At first, no. I'll be honest. No, I thought that this was some kind of gimmick. I'm like, okay, he has a book out. Chris Rock must be coming out with a movie. This is something that they plan. I did not think it was real until I saw the consequences. I saw the ripple effect of it. And actually, when I saw Will Smith's acceptance speech, I knew that there was something wrong and that something had truly happened, but it happened in him first. Before the smack. There was a lot going on
now
as
we
talk about emotional management. It wasn't just the smack and it wasn't just about Jada. There were some things going on. And I felt bad for him.
This is really deep, but you did feel bad for him.
I absolutely felt bad for him because I could discern that it was something else. The tears that he cried were not, they were tears of embarrassment, but those were also tears of a little boy. There were tears of a man who had been emasculated so many times in his marriage. Those tears were not just, hey, I won this Oscar. It was a lot going on there that I could just, and that was before I knew about some of the things that he had
because
discussed.
Your discernment, it's you soaked it all in.
Yeah, I felt bad for him. I felt bad for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I was almost asleep. So this is a really weird story.
What happened?
Really weird story,
what
right?
Happened?
So me and my wife, we're watching Bel Air.
Okay.
This is a funny thing. As a rapper, I didn't grow up liking Will Smith. You know, I'm from Cleveland. Grew up in the 80s and 90s of hardcore music. We ain't like none of that pop.
Like the summertime.
Summertime was fresh, but all the rest of his stuff, I wasn't feeling him. But recently, he's taking this executive producer role in Hollywood, and he made a show, Cobra Kai, which is a continuation of The Karate Kid from the 80s.
Oh.
Then he made Bel-Air, which is a reboot of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And I love both of these shows. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they're masterpieces. And me and my wife love watching Bel-Air. Like, we sit and absorb the psychology of the characters and how they compare and contrast to the cartoonish versions from the show back in the day to make them a more real. It's love it. So we were in that. I didn't even know the Oscars was happening. We had no idea. This was just our night.
Okay.
So it's Sunday night. That was our night to watch Bel-Air. So we watched it, and we got to talking about Will Smith.
And you did not know that the Oscars were on.
We had no idea the Oscars were on.
Whoa.
We're sitting there. It's like 11 p.m. We started talking about Will. I was like, you know what? I wonder how Janet Hubert feels.
Mm-hmm.
Who played Dusty. And for anybody who doesn't know, that's the actress who played the original Aunt Viv on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. She was fired and replaced after like two seasons, I think, right? They went for a 6-season run. I think like two seasons in, she got it, right? She felt like she was blackballed by Will Smith out of Hollywood. So I was like, man, I brought it up. And my wife was like, yo, I forgot all about that. Like, what ended up, what was all of that? So we pulled up YouTube and we started watching it all.
Okay.
All of her claims. Everything she said that he did to her, that he told from powerful people not to work with her. She was difficult. Him and Alfonso Ribeiro made fun of her and cast her out. She felt like she got fired because he was like the dominant force in that show. And everybody had to like tiptoe around him and laugh at all of his jokes. And he would joke on everybody and prank people. And he was real stupid and silly. And she was a professional Broadway actress, and she did not feel like that was an environment she should be in. So she would just get up and walk out instead of laughing at his jokes. And she felt like that was the reason why she was let go. And I was like, wow. And so we led all the way up to the Fresh Prince of reunion, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion, which happened like 2 years ago, I think, a year or two ago. She was not a part of it. They brought back everybody but her. But Will Smith is on this journey in his life to repair some things. He reached out to her, had a sit down with just her, aside from everybody else. He's like, I want to hear you out. And she told him all of that to his face.
Yeah.
You call me a difficult black woman. You ended my career when I was pregnant and had an abusive husband and was going through real things in life. You put an end to my career, my livelihood.
Okay.
And he was like, wow. He's like, I got to admit, I did.
Wow.
But I didn't know. He was like, I didn't realize how powerful my words were, but I did do that.
So this is her testimony. This is her saying this.
She said it right to his face. And, you know, he was tearing up and he was like, I did. I did do that.
Oh,
he's
wow.
like, I didn't understand everything that you're saying to me now. I was young. I was immature. I was arrogant. And he was like, and I was scared.
Oh, wow.
And I was defending myself from a threat.
Mm-hmm.
You were a threat. Mm-hmm. You were this professional actress. I am an amateur who's been throwing all this money and been given like this whole show, all of this responsibility to carry a show. And all I had was my silliness. That's all I had. So in seeing you as a threat, I eliminated the threat.
Wow.
And I was like, man, that's some real...
That's real.
Real good stuff. I loved it. It's like, did I see all of that stuff, all his side? No. I saw it just as a picture of life, right? Like, that's some hard. She was done wrong. But she was able to step up there and tell him to his face and make him accountable. And I was like, that's life. That's life. It ain't gonna always go right. But the least you can do is come together, hear each other out, be accountable. So,
And that goes so well with how you protect a black woman.
Absolutely.
But don't let me forget that.
Absolutely.
Don't let me forget that part.
So we in that. it's late. By that time, we done went down the YouTube rabbit. I don't know if any of y'all out there ever get caught up in the YouTube rabbit hole. But once you click
YouTube after YouTube,
we went for about an hour.
And still hadn't gotten the news about what happened.
We never did.
This is crazy. So
we like, wow, that was super interesting. Good night, babe. Click. Lay down and go to sleep. And I just happened to roll over to plug my phone in. And I was like, swipe. Will Smith slaps Chris Rock.
What? Slap him out.
I'm like, why would he do that? The Oscars were tonight? I was like, word? And so my wife likes those award shows, kinda. Mm-hmm. If we know, we never know about them, right? Because we just not in that wavelength. Mm-hmm. But when we do know, she does kind of enjoy watching them. So she was like, oh man, wish I would have knew the Oscars was happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, apparently we missed something. So the link that I apparently in the American broadcast,
okay,
they had, you know, you in the U.S. with because of the FCC, communication is monitored, and there, you know, there's usually a 7-second delay. Mm-hmm. So when Will Smith did all of this and start yelling expletives, they hit the delay. So the American broadcast didn't see that. So it was choppy.
Okay.
So I saw a whole bunch of people saying this is fake. But when I clicked it, I didn't get the American broadcast. I got the real broadcast. Yeah, it was from some other country.
Yeah.
So I saw him get up, slap him, sit back down, and start yelling all of the cuss words, mm-hmm. and see Lupita and everybody behind him like, what in the world just happened? Because mm-hmm. she had the classic look. Any black person know, when you see that it's about to go down, right in front, you got that look like, I ain't even know it was this kind of party, yes. right? That's the look Lupita had. I saw all of that, and I was like, oh, that's real. That's how, there's no question. So I was scrolling through my feed, and I saw all of my friends was like, this is fake. Like, nah, not what I saw.
Nah.
And you know why I knew it was real? We go back to emotional management. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about the slap. It was when he sat back down.
Yes.
When he started yelling, you can see his body, his stress response. He was in fight mode.
He was. His neck
up here.
Absolutely. Up here
was tense. His head was at an awkward angle.
And just like that.
And his face was tensed up like somebody who had just got into a fight.
Just like that. And that's when I realized it was real too, because it was intense. All of it was here. And I said, no, he's not. That's not acting. He could pull it off, yes. But that is a real, that's passion that's right
too
here.
Real, too much
something
passion.
is going on
it
here.
It was too much passion. You could see it was bubbling out of him. Even when he said, keep my wife's neck. When you chop your words like that.
You mean it.
You ready to fight.
Yeah.
When you he's spitting them at him. Mm-hmm. Keep my wife's neck. It was like, okay, that's in here.
Ooh.
So. To take it back, I know he got up, he did his speech. I didn't like his speech.
I didn't either.
I couldn't stand it. I felt bad for him, though, because it wasn't accountable.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get up there and say, look,
no,
I did something wrong. He got up there, one, he started hitting people with the bus. He even brought my man Richard Williams into it. For one, you just ruined Serena and Venus's moment to honor their father. And now you're going to get up there and drag their father into it with you. He ain't never hit nobody.
Oh, my God. It was all over the... That's Jay. That's how I knew something was wrong.
He ain't never hit nobody, but you up there like, hey, I'm up here acting like Richard Williams. No, you're not, bruh.
Yeah, it... No.
No, you acting like you. And you got to just own that.
Yeah. The fact that he didn't see the gravity in what he did immediately, right? That's what bothered me. And so I'm like, the tears are embarrassment. There's a lot going on there. Yeah. Yet you never said that you were going to apologize or never apologize to the person who you offended. So I said, it's something definitely going on wrong here. And I did not know all of the things that he had encountered with his mother and not being able to protect her. And I knew a little bit about him not feeling as much of a man as Tupac. When I thought about it, that's exactly how he walked away.
Yeah.
He walked away like, I redeemed myself.
I finally did it.
Yeah, I finally did it. That was exactly his walk away. And I said, this is more about what happened to him, just like the book I'm reading, other than what happened that particular night.
Absolutely. And that's why Chris Rock was really the victim of it, because he just was caught up in what was going on, the war within Will Smith, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the one thing I really didn't like, one of my pet peeves is I'm a big accountability person, mm-hmm. right? And when people get emotional and get in arguments, it's like when you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Orange juice, because that's what it's made of, right? When you get squeezed, whatever you're made of comes out, right? And Will Smith, in that moment, what he was made of came out, and a lot of it wasn't that great, right? Yeah. Like, for one, he hit somebody. Two, he ain't even really take it like an adult, right? He started bringing in Richard Williams. Then he did the one thing which I really hate. He was looking for co-signers. Mm. He said, hey, my man D just told me that when you're at your highest moment, the devil... He told you that in private. He told you that man mm-hmm. to man.
Mm-hmm.
You leveraging that for some points.
Mm-hmm.
And you called him D to let him know, that's my mans.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't know him like that. I know him like...
That's a good point.
You start reaching for this immaturity. You reaching. Like, you see a lot of people getting, especially in schools. You work in school. Mm-hmm. Anytime you see people getting arguments and fights, they're so young, their immaturity comes out immediately.
Immediately.
They want co-signers, but you said that, but she mm-hmm. over here. But what about her? It's mm-hmm. everything but what I did.
Immediately. It was everything but what he did. And I couldn't understand that. I'm like, he's talking around so much. And then, of course, the media is the media.
Yeah.
They pan to the people's reaction in the audience, especially Serena and Venus. And they show Denzel Washington. I know he's probably like...
Yeah.
Okay, I told you that in private. Thanks for letting people know. But there was definitely a breakdown as far as his trauma showing up, which is he was a perfect example of what happens when we don't deal with our trauma and it comes to deal with us at the most inconvenient time. We don't get a chance to tell trauma when to show up. We just we don't know when it's going to show up. And so that whole, I just felt bad for him. And I felt even worse for women who thought that was appropriate and women who got on this soapbox of, that's how I want my man to protect me. He was just protecting. And worse for men who said, I would have done the same thing, when, bruh, you don't check your mama when she talked to your wife out of pocket. So you going to get up on TV and smack somebody? That's not what we're doing. I think that it really it spawned so many conversations that, of course, we won't be able to cover today.
Not all of them, but let's get to some of the meatier ones, because the key that we want to spark the conversation.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's talk about what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of women who saw that and they was like, yeah, goals. That's how I want my man. You know, me personally, this is something that I struggle with throughout my life, right? I grew up around a lot of violence.
Mm.
I've always abhorred it. I don't want no parts of it, right? I'm so surrounded by it as a kid. I didn't want to be that. So when I got to be a teenager and I started meeting girls and I would get to know them, you know, girls would say stuff like, hey, I need a man with a little thug in him. I need to know I'm protected. You know, you seem like a real nice guy.
Yeah.
But I also need to know, do you got some thug in you?
Yeah.
And I think, that's was all bubbling in Will Smith. Like you said, you mm-hmm. talked about the Tupac thing. I read his book. I read his book a few months ago before the slap thing. I mm-hmm. was completely, let me just put this on record. Will Smith is the world's most interesting man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be real, mm-hmm. right? I know a lot of people are out there like, why do we keep talking about it? It's because he's interesting.
Yes, he is. And he's right? intelligent.
And he's intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
The combination of his life, including Jada, right? Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't like that before he got married to her. But him being married to Jada Pinkett, he's the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah.
We can't look away, right? So I read his book, loved it.
You did.
Thought it was great.
Okay.
I thought he was very transparent. He was very open, very honest. In light of that book, it made complete sense. He was going to slap somebody.
Mm.
If it wasn't Chris Rock, it was going to be someone. Because everything you just said.
Mm-hmm.
For one, his parents split up after his father violently abused his mother right in front of them. Mm-hmm. Right in front of them. And he has said multiple times, he said in his book, he said in a separate interview to his mother, because he said he had never told her this, he felt like his greatest failure in life was that she got knocked down 10 feet in front of him. And he did nothing about it. And he said from that moment, he labeled himself a coward. Oh. And he said he went through life. He has a sister and a brother. Mm. And he said his sister is the fighter. His sister would come to his defense in school, fight people for him. He always relied on other people to fight for him. He said he's never fought. He's always been too scared.
Yeah.
And he considers himself a coward. And you lead all the way up to him marrying Jada Pinkett, who has a very long, everybody already knows it, very long history with Tupac. Mm-hmm. Will Smith being a rapper turned actor, Tupac being a rapper turned actor. Two flips out of the coin, right? If we have an episode where we talk about the life of Jada Pinkett, I'm sure it would be interesting to note that she was, you know, had a loving relationship with Tupac Shakur and a loving relationship with Will Smith, who are polar opposite people, right? Mm-hmm. But also probably two of the most interesting people in the 21st century, period, right? So he even talked about being at a party. He said he never met Tupac in his life.
Really?
Tupac passed away and he never met him. Said he was at a party one time and Tupac was there. And they were on opposite sides of the party. And he said he wanted to go up. He was already married to Jada. It was everything that we talk about was already in the air. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go up. And he was too scared. Mm. Now, that moment got Chris Rock slapped.
Yes, absolutely.
Somebody was going to catch that slap eventually. Mm-hmm. That his father hitting his mom, all of that, everything, his sister fighting his battles, Tupac, somebody was going to get hit. Mm-hmm. Because he was feeling like the same thing. And listen, let me put this out there for all the fellas. I know we all, every single one of us that had a moment where we felt like this. What do I need to do to prove to this woman that I'm the man she looking for? Mm. I'm the man she want. Will Smith said these exact words in his book that he wanted to, and he was talking about sex at the time. He said he, when he met Jada, they first week, he said, I am going to please this woman or die trying. He said those words. It's in his book, and he's quoted in multiple interviews saying that exact thing. He said, I will never leave her because my mom left my dad and moved to with my grandmother down the street. And I had to grow up in too hard. I had to go visit my mom, but I had to come home to my dad. And he said, I'm never going to have that. He's never leaving her. No matter what they go through, he's never leaving her. And right, wrong, or indifferent, that's the choice that man has made.
Yeah.
Right? And I know every husband out there, we all understand when you get married, you're married to another human, flaws and all, and you got to decide, what are the lengths I'm willing to go to make this woman happy? Because sometimes it ain't even making her happy. Because I'm willing to bet she don't even like what he did at the Oscars. She probably hate it.
From what I'm hearing, not only that, I don't think that it appeased her like you said. But she's also said that she never wanted to marry him. That when he threw her a birthday party, that it wasn't what she wanted. It's what he wanted. So turn after turn after turn.
Bought the house for her. And she don't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
So she knows the power that she has.
Yeah.
As women, we know the power that we have, especially if a man is stuck in trauma.
Yeah.
Then we know what we can do, which is pretty much anything. What we can get away with, which is pretty much anything. And so I think he was grasping at straws for the way to protect her. As we talk about how do we protect the black woman, it's so much. It's
a lot. I can guarantee you, WWTD is what went through his head in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
What would Tupac do?
Mm.
And he hit that.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I never thought about that.
Guaranteed. Will Smith has never acted like that before.
No.
He wilded out. He felt like in that moment, I guarantee you they're going through some battles. I mean, we've seen the videos. They're going through some struggles, which, hey, that's not uncommon. A lot of married couples are going through it. Yeah. You know, the thing is, kind of like what D.L. Hughley said, they have chosen to tell us their life, to over-broadcast. I mean, there was a petition going out last year to get them to stop sharing their life.
I never heard of that. Right? Like, what?
So it's like, what D.L. Hughley say, y'all gave them the rocks to hit y'all with.
Yeah.
I would phrase it like this. You sold us the rocks to throw back at you. Because that's their business model. They didn't just do it as, you know, we just want to talk. No, they set up businesses. Will Smith has decided, instead of Hollywood movies, my social media presence is going to be my moneymaker. Right? So they have decided to make this thing their main business. Which, hey, success achieved. They did it, right? If your job was to say, hey, let's turn our family dynamic and struggles transparently into a show called Red Table Diaries and get as many eyes and sign a contract with Facebook Watch. Facebook Watch, if y'all watching, we'll sign with y'all if y'all ever down. We're going to sign a contract with Facebook Watch and broadcast it right where everybody is at every day. We got to get these eyes on us. They did it. Mission accomplished.
It cost too much. They didn't. And we hardly ever do. We don't think about what it costs. I was talking to someone yesterday and she talked about missed opportunities. Like, I can't help but think I missed these opportunities, but it would have cost you. It was actually God sparing you. You're looking at it from opportunity. I get to get this. This is what I'm going to gain. So this is beneficial. I said, but the cost would be too great. You were actually spared.
Everything in life is a cost benefit analysis, and you got to do it. You got to do it. Well, let's go back to something you said. Mm-hmm. Protect black women.
Mm.
At the end of the day, he got up and what did he say? My role in life is to protect. I protected these actresses. I protected my wife. I'm a, what do you say, fierce protector. And you know, he spit that word out.
The mic was wet.
It was wet. He was trying to convey, so one, he was trying to cleanse himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get us on the ride with him. Yeah. Hey, this ain't crazy. This is all rational, y'all.
Yeah, and black women bought into
this is
it.
All rational.
They made the connection. Wait a minute. Wait. Fierce protector use violence to check someone or put them in place. Okay, so a protector does what he needs to do, whether it's an embarrassment or not. So the connect, they did exactly what he wanted them to do. Make the connection, and women went crazy.
And that's when you go back into Will Smith's a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's excellent at what he does. Mm-hmm. He's the best in the world at what he does. I think, here's the thing, right? Men, especially black men, we're all taught there's a certain way to protect black women, right? Mm-hmm. There's rules you get. Hey, if you're walking down the street and you with your girl or your wife, you got to walk on the side where the cars
are. That's right. That's right.
Right? There's certain things. If you go in a restaurant, you face the door so you know when people walking in. There's like unwritten rules.
This new information for some of y'all.
Yeah.
I feel like, hey, wait. Say that again, bro. Say that again.
If you in a restaurant, y'all going to get seated. You take the seat where you can see what's coming at you.
That's right.
Those are things that we are taught. Now, did they apply in an old world? Probably. Did they all mean something? At some point, yes, walking on the side of the street where the cars are, if I'm in an undeveloped road and horse and buggy are walking down and they splash mud everywhere, it's going to get me.
Uh-huh.
My wife, so much of it is goes back to the olden day. Hey, if we're outside and there's a puddle, I better take off my coat and throw it down. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the olden days of chivalry and things of that nature. Is that the way you best protect black women?
See, that's the key word. Now, see, the word best is a superlative.
Yeah.
So that's not the best way. That may be a way, not what he did, but I like when a man like Baby step into the, I like that walking on the inside.
The consideration.
Yeah, I like the consideration. But
it may just be
protect.
Even if it's just a symbol, you like that symbol because of what he means.
Absolutely. It means something that he's paying attention. We like to be paid attention to.
And that's what makes so many of these tricky. Mm-hmm. Because when, what point do you stop? What point do you go? Getting up and hitting somebody for saying something about your wife, in many instances, is applauded. In this instance, it's a little crazy. But it's not like he pulled that out of nowhere.
No. He pulled it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that violence is ever, unless someone is coming to physically attack me, I don't think violence is ever necessary or required. I feel like if he wanted to address it, and a lot of people said this, like, okay, if I'm being honest, him yelling from the seat, maybe. Yeah. Okay, yell from the seat. You know, maybe Mr. Expletives, right? But I would have preferred pulling him to the side. Hey, that was kind of, I think you crossed the line. My wife felt disrespected. But on T, it's like Will forgot the rules of the game. You don't get in at an event like that. And that's how I knew it was trauma that did that. Because there's no way he's gotten to where he's gotten. He does not know the rules of the game. And Will Packer is producing the Oscars.
Too much
there's
at stake.
No way you don't know what you should be doing.
It's way too much at stake.
But his little boy told him, you better get up and protect your mama. You better get up and protect her. Because you didn't protect your mom. You better get up and you better do something. Yeah. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah. He slapped Chris Rock for his crazy. Father. Mm-hmm. For Tupac, it was all of them.
It was all of them. Because you could tell, Jay, it was so clear in the way he walked away.
Yeah.
He walked away like he was victorious, like redeemed.
So many things in his life had been addressed in that one
Come
slap.
Come on. Yeah. Exactly.
He did walk away like that. You know, the thing that I think is this, when you, to protect black women, the first thing we got to do is protect them from us.
Can I clap on the mic? Can I clap on the mic?
I know, you know, I remember Common had this line. He had this song called The Light. I think it's his best, his number one song. And in it, he said, I want to be the one to make you happiest, but I hurt you the most. Mm-hmm. And that is the reality of men and women, specifically black men and women. When you have, and I say black men and women, not because we're black. It's not inherent in blackness. It's inherent in trauma, like what you said. And don't nobody got trauma like black people. So when we got so much unhealed trauma that we sitting on and you got to deal with that. The best way for me as a husband, the best way I could protect my wife, I could stand on the side of the street. I could put my jacket down. I could even slap somebody if they make a joke about her. But the best way is for me to keep digging in here. Because I'm the one that can hurt her the most.
Yes.
I'm the most dangerous thing.
Yes.
So it's like, if I'm not dealing with, and this goes for everybody, not just a wife. I'm talking about people out there who got girlfriends. I'm talking about your mama.
Your daughter.
Your girl. Your baby girl. Mm-hmm. Your baby girl. Your little precious princess. We develop these, the way that I consider it is, because I hear a lot, you know, I have two daughters. And I know that's unique when for a black man to have a daughter, it's always this weird thing because we've thrown away so much softness for us to have a daughter. Then we got to navigate it again. Right. Mm-hmm. So we really need some classes or some therapy before raising girls. You know, it's troubling, but we go into it anyway. Mm-hmm. Right. One of the things that we can do is stop centering their lives in us. On us, right? It's always my woman, my wife, my baby girl, my mama, she's a woman. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah.
Self-sustaining being with wishes and desires that ain't got nothing to do with me feeling like I own her. And let's just be real. We do feel like we own them a little bit. I know not everybody out there is cool with that or ready to hear that, but I can cleanly admit everything about our lives, I grew up thinking I had ownership in this in some way, right? My girl, I'm thinking I'm a great guy. I'm raised by a single mom. We also have to stop thinking that being raised by a single mom gives us any further insight into what a woman needs. Mm. All of us are raised by a single mom almost. I mean, it's like, it's everywhere. It's a pandemic. You know what I'm saying? We still got work to do to understand what a woman truly needs outside of our view of them.
Yeah.
They're more than just the thing we're looking at, that the role that we need them for. The mama, the wife, the woman, the girl. They're more than that. So I think first thing we got to do is listen to them, because a lot of what they're going to say ain't going to feel good to us.
No, it's not.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not.
Anybody I know out there who been married for a while and y'all doing good, y'all know. Y'all had to hear something you ain't want to hear. Because all of, even especially the dudes like me who thought they was good because their mama told them they was good. Then you have to realize all the ways you ain't good. Mm-hmm. Not that you can't get better. That's the whole thing about life. God is graceful.
Yes.
He will give us that grace, but you got to stand up and realize and be willing to hear, bruh, let me tell you the things that you are doing. A woman is going to tell you one day, let me tell you what you are doing to hurt me.
Yeah.
And you got to be willing to hear it.
We did say we were going to talk about marriage, too. That's coming. That's coming. We just, you know. It's coming. But you're right, that listening ear. I think I told you, I don't know if I told you this before, but I was preparing to talk to a group of men. I had never spoken to a full just group of men.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my
That's
goodness.
That's gonna be interesting.
And I'm like, oh my, ladies, when I tell you, these men were so open and so ready. They verbally said, we have our notebooks, we're ready, we're open, we want to hear what you have to say. And the idea that leadership is a divine inheritance from God to men. Yeah. Because I knew that God had given Adam the instructions about what to eat and what not to eat. I did. It's something somewhere at age 49, it cracked that he had given him instruction before Eve was even on the scene.
Yeah.
He had given him instruction. And so I'm like, he gave him a job. So I'm like, men are well able to lead. Men are well able to provide, to protect, to shelter, to cover, to pray for. They are well able. And I think we don't do a great job, and I might get some snapback on this. We don't do a great job allowing men to help us.
Trauma again.
Exactly. Yeah. It's trauma just bang, bang, bang all over the place. We don't do a great job with allowing the man to protect us or helping him and try to reconfigure his role because we've been so independent and we've been so, I got this, and we be so, I don't need a help, I don't need
and
a man.
You want him to do it your way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's and we are too. We want y'all to do everything
at this. That's why we have to talk about marriage and partnership.
You gotta let people be
because
human.
Because we haven't been good, yeah. So there's a role that we play in teaching our men about how to protect us in a healthy way. But we also have to be healthy.
Well, what about this? Like you said, you also have to be healthy. Because number two on my list is women have to be protected from themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because, I mean, how do we know if you ain't doing the work to know, too? If you telling us, I want you to slap a dude.
Right.
Well, we going to go slap a dude.
Right.
Because that's right. Pressure.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, that's why I think the best thing, the only thing you can really control is yourself.
That's all.
So you got to try to get better. For men, for Will Smith, anybody like Will Smith, and I can relate. You know, I don't like what he did. I'm not a fan of it at all, but I relate a lot to him. That's one of the reasons why I don't like it, because I know exactly why he did it. I felt him, you know, but I know the reason he did it was because he didn't address the people that needed the slap, and he didn't address it the right way. And it built up too much. If you don't start healing them, some of them hurts, you're going to get out of pocket. You know, because here's something me and my boys talk about this a lot. We have this thing, this term called little manning, right? Everybody has seen it before. One of the things that men don't like, and women don't like this either, but especially for men, if there's more than one man around and one dude is getting treated slightly different.
In a good way?
No.
In a bad way.
If he like the butt of the joke once. Aww. Twice.
Oh.
Maybe the third. Listen, I saw this happen. Me and two of my dudes was walking And my one dude, you know, ha-ha on my other dude. Okay. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes later, ha-ha-ha, little innocent joke. Ha-ha. 5 minutes later, all right. And my other dude that was the butt of the joke, he had to up it here mm-hmm. for him to realize, I want you to get back in pocket. Mm-hmm. You've offended me.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is going to stop unless I do too much. Mm-hmm. I can't just do enough.
Yeah.
I have to do too much. And that's a belief. And I can't really argue it. I was raised that way too. My mom taught me, don't ever let nobody make an example out of you. And if they start to, you got to go above and beyond and let them know you ain't doing. Mm-hmm. So I understand completely what Will was doing. He didn't know what he was going to do when he walked up there. He didn't know. But once he got up there, he knew it had to be too much. Because now you done put yourself in position for him to heal all the stuff he wanted to heal. He going to have to do too much. Yeah. More than what anybody wants or is comfortable with.
I like that.
Now, how do you handle it right? Hindsight, he probably could have walked all the way up there. Hey, Chris. Stop. Nobody will ever know what he said. But mm-hmm. hey. Sorry, Jada. I didn't even know. It's all good. Yeah, that would have went way better. But he had too much hurt. He couldn't think that way.
No, he
couldn't. It was too much undealt with.
I agree.
Too much. That's why, you know, I think it's interesting you bring up Adam and Eve. One of the Adam and Eve is one of the funniest stories to me because it reminds me of men's strength. Mm-hmm. How strong, man, like you said, you put a man on assignment, we got you. Mm-hmm. You get us a shortcut, we fail you. When God came back, mm-hmm. he said, what happened? Mm-hmm. Adam was like, it was her. It was the snake. It was you. It wasn't but four things in existence.
He did a wheel.
And he pointed at three of them. Everything but me.
Yeah.
He was like, you said, she said, the snake slid it out. Dude.
You failed at your leadership role.
Just say it. And yeah. Then the first thing, he couldn't even find him. Adam, where are you? Mm-hmm. One of the things I always tell my young dudes, especially when I lead a marriage group and I talk to young husbands, Adam, where are you? Think about that. Because a lot of times we know we need to be dealing with it with our wife. We know we need to be talking to her, but we down in the man cave trying to get our mind off of it. Yeah. We at the bar trying to get our mind off of it. Adam, where are you? Mm-hmm. Where are you? Deal with the things. I got you. But you got a job to do, bro.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, Will Smith, anybody. We are all Will Smith.
Yes. Could be. Absolutely.
You
got
to deal with this. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to get out of pocket with my wife, mm-hmm. for my wife, mm-hmm. next to my wife.
In front of millions.
You know what I'm saying?
In front of very shocked millions of people who are like appalled. Like, is this really happening? Now, I hear he's in therapy now. And I was so glad.
Shout out to that.
They said, well, he's going to a posh. I don't care if it's posh, if it's in the hood. He is seeking therapy. And that truly was my prayer for him. Lord, let him get the help that he needs, because there's something that he needs. And I'm so hoping that this is going to be a turning point for him, whether the marriage lasts or not. I'm totally not interested in it. I want him to survive. I want him to, I think this will be a part of normalizing therapy, normalizing, okay, I did something wrong. And I know that the source of that was something that was long ago. I need to go and deal with it. And so I am very happy. And I hope they keep playing the reels. And I hope they keep playing the reels about him being in therapy as well. Because, okay, if we're going to tell the story, tell all of it. Yeah. Now he's getting help. So I want that to be just as resounding as the smack. The fact that he's getting help.
You said a mouthful right there. I love that normalizing therapy.
Yeah.
We do need to do that. And shout out to, like you said, you went to therapists. You got back into a season of therapy. I'm in a season of therapy right now for myself. I try to do it once a year because it's always going to be new challenges that come up. You got to embrace a lifestyle of challenge.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, especially for a man, it's not good for us to be alone. We need accountability partners. We need community. We always need people to bounce stuff off of. So therapy, shout out to everybody who's taking therapy. Because I don't want it to be minimized. Like, ain't no black people out. It's a lot of black people out there getting therapy. Shout out to everybody. We need to start shouting out the people that are there instead of saying, don't nobody go. Shout out, yay, big up to y'all, man. Keep doing it and talk about it more. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of.
That's why I'm so mindful to say to people, because they think, oh, you have it going on, you have it together, because I know when I need to be refilled.
Yeah.
That's why. And it's still a journey. And so I love that, that you say, hey, let's talk about the people who are in therapy, because I think everybody needs to see a therapist. Every person, whether you've gone through anything or not, every person needs to see a therapist at least once in their life, because I guarantee you they will uncover something that you're like, oh, I didn't even know that was in there. Yeah, it's in there.
Especially if we're talking about protecting people. If we want to protect black women, go therapy, man. Go to your doctor.
Yes.
Go to your primary care physician regularly. Get a relationship with your doctor. Get a relationship with your therapist. You know, lock in. Have a relationship with God. Lock in on what you're doing. That's how we protect our wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, people talking all this. Pray over your wife. Pray over your wife, man. Really work on you and your relationship. The things, control the controllables. You can't control Chris Rock. You can control your hand. Control the controllables.
I like that.
Yeah.
Control the controllables.
That's all you can do, man.
That's the quote of the day. Control the controllables. Just know when we was rapping about the hood, we weren't lying. Don't really gotta explain what's understood, young lions.